Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and this week, rounding out the trifecta of friends I speak to most about dating, our guest spends their days valiantly vaccinating the nation, and although we didn't know each other well at school, we had the joy of reconnecting during the pandemic. So you've heard from Jack and Nina, now welcome to your ears, Adam Duval.
Hi.
Hey, and we said off mic we would start off with introducing why we're recording together. Well, we've been meaning to, but then
yes, we are
currently in a cabin in the woods together with some of our mates.
We are, yeah. We're up about 20 miles north of Glasgow, and it's beautiful here. And we couldn't have asked for any better weather, I think, while we've been here. It's been absolutely glorious.
Yes, one of the others was hoping for snow, and we very much do not have snow.
We've very much had up to 20 degree weather with no rain and no clouds and potential sunburn coming on, so it's been great.
Yes, and it's been a lot of like walks and hiking and getting to catch up with you and hear all about your, I guess, newish boyfriend at this point.
Newish in the grand scheme of things, yeah.
But this was part of the reason why I thought the listeners would like hearing from you, because there was a point where you guys got together and it gave me so much hope at a time that it needed it, that I needed it. Not to make your relationship about me, but it's very adorable.
Oh.
And so I think, how could you not get invested?
I know. I'm very invested in him.
But before that, just, you know, ground you before we hear how seamlessly things are going now. I asked if you had a dating story prepared and you were like, you just giggled to yourself and said, I've got more sex stories. So that's what we're getting today.
Yes. So I went to university in Anglia Ruskin, and they have campuses across kind of the east of East Anglia. And the one I went to was in Cambridge. And while I was down in Cambridge during university, I was in a past relationship, but I also had a lot of time where I was single. So I got to enjoy university life as a single gay man. And that involved a lot of sex, which was great. I think one of my best experiences, because I made friends out of this experience as well, was with a couple. And one of them worked at the University of Cambridge and the other one worked locally. I can't remember exactly what it was he did. I think it was something related to IT or I think graphic design potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with one of them on Grindr. I'm not going to say their names, but I'll use their first initials.
Sure.
So I was talking with A on Grindr, and his boyfriend M, I'd spoken to a while ago quite consistently, but we'd never met up because we'd never had the chance. And then he was around the country a lot with conferences and work, etc. Conferences in air quotation marks, as Bobby just did. And so I met up with A, and I kind of didn't realize at first that they were together. And then when he turned up at my house, I was like, wait, aren't you M's boyfriend? And he said, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, I didn't realize that was a thing. Like, you know, is this, I want to make sure that I'm not about to break a relationship up. Like, what's going on? But no, everything was cool and they are completely open. And so he, you know, we had sex and it was great. And then I didn't have anything to do for the evening. So he said, why don't you come to ours for dinner? And I said, that sounds excellent. And he said, you know, you can meet M as well. And so I drove him back to his house. It's only about 10 minutes away because Cambridge really isn't that big. And so we went to their house and A made a dinner. He made salmon with sticky white rice and teriyaki sauce, which was absolutely delicious. I think then I was, 22-year-old gay. Very much enjoyed being taken under the wing of two 30-year-old gays because they had more money than me. And they had a nicer place than I did. Yes, this is my future. But also they were just both really lovely. Mm. And we had dinner, we were chatting about loads of things. Me and Em were catching up because we hadn't spoken in ages. And then all three of us had sex after dinner and it was great. And then we had dessert as well, and that wasn't the sex. The dessert was we made microwave mug cakes, which were great.
Oh.
Absolutely great. So yeah, that is my dating / sex story.
Why is this sex story more wholesome?
I know.
Than most of the dating stories I have?
Honestly, like they were both such really nice people, and we did this for a couple of times over the next few months.
What with both of them, or did you always get picked up by one of them and brought back to the nest?
It was with both of them by then, and then the last time that we met up together, I wanted to make them dinner to say thank you because they'd made me dinner so many times and kept inviting me to their place. So yeah, I made them, what did I make them? Some kind of risotto, which was really lovely. And then we had sex again.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
No, could you not?
I don't.
It's interesting because so often you hear from a lot of like sex therapists and people that work in that area of the space talk about like what we can learn from queer people, and in particular often gay men, in terms of like safe sex, in terms of creating like sexual dynamics that work for you, in terms of like sexual freedom and proudness. And I think there's a lot to that, and I think that story really illustrates it, where you went into a situation where you all had an open but respecting mindset.
Definitely. And on that note as well, it was actually one thing that made me quite sad about leaving Cambridge, is because, not because I was leaving the sex behind, but because actually I felt I'd made a connection with these people.
Yeah.
And that we had things in common other than just what we were doing in the bedroom as well. And we got on as friends. So when I left Cambridge, it was kind of a bit of a bittersweet moment, because I was like, I know I need to move on, but also I am leaving some things behind that I've only really developed or made current very recently, to before I moved back.
Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned it to me before, and it also always has this slightly glossy tone to it. Is that something, we'll hear all about your wonderful Luke in a minute, but is that something you could ever see yourself returning to, like an open relationship, or if, God forbid, anything happened to Luke?
Oh, goodness, big questions here. I think it's always something that I would be open to if I weren't in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I take my current relationship right now as an example, we are both happy being monogamous, and we've had that conversation as well. And, you know, there's nothing really more at the moment that I would want from that relationship that I, you know, that I could bring into it by opening it up or making it a polyamorous or polygamous relationship. But when I was single, I did enjoy that aspect of life as well, because I thought it was, you know, I just thought it was great that people could do that and that I could enjoy that as well. And like you said, that there is, you know, there is certainly something to learn from that.
I think already made reference on the pod, but we'll talk about it in depth more at some point, listeners. And I have been exploring ethical non-monogamy more recently, and it's something where it's been interesting other people's reactions, because it seems like a big announcement to some people, and yet it was something that I don't think I was ever close to. It was just something that, like, it's not the default inclination. And so therefore, you know, it sort of tracks that I'm exploring this more seriously later in life.
Yeah.
And later in life, because I'm so old. I don't know. That's part of the reason why I asked, because I think it sounds like you had that kind of organic exploration as well, where you're like, this is, it's not so much a big, like, realization as a, this is something that I'm also open to.
Yeah.
And, you know, both, which maybe is typical with me to do with how I run my sexuality anyway, but I'm, I don't feel like I'm either only into monogamy or only into non-monogamy.
Yeah.
And it's very much being a chameleon with each person.
Yeah, of course. And I feel a very similar way, in that currently with Luke, we're going to talk about later.
Really teasing it.
I've got the carrot on the end of the stick there. You know, I don't think that we need that, but in the past I have enjoyed the aspect of openness and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not something that I've ever been opposed to, but in the current relationship that I'm in now, I don't think it's something that I need. So like you said about being a chameleon, you know, I can go in and out of that.
Yeah.
And I think there are definite benefits and drawbacks to both as well.
Yeah. And I think for me anyway, a lot of the beauty is in the nuance, like in the way you said with that couple, it sounds like they looked after you really in a situation where, like, you might have been nervous, or it might have been a lot to suddenly meet the other half in person when you just hooked up with one of them.
Yeah.
And instead, you know, they cooked for you, and there's a sweetness to the contrast between that and the stereotypes that can exist around hookup culture. And that's something that I kind of keep feeling ready for sort of pushback against what I'm up to at the moment, where I'm sort of waiting for people to try and, like, slut shame me, and it's not happened yet. But I'm aware that part of that is being male. But I'm sort of kind of strangely keenly ready for it, because I sort of want to have the conversation. I want to get good at challenging that stuff, because actually it's so what people might assume perhaps about it being always, like, really sex driven. For me, that's really not what it's about.
Totally.
And actually, like, the communication and the, like, I don't know, it sounds like the situation you described, there could be great camaraderie in that you're all looking after each other, and, like, there's care and there's friendship there, which were the things that you missed most.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not what people would assume.
No, no, I genuinely... They'd
be like, they sound handy. They sound handy in there.
They sound handsy. I genuinely, yeah, I do believe you're right in a sense there, that there will be a lot of people that will see that in a negative light. It's a shame, really. It's okay being not into that thing. Like, everyone has their
do's and don'ts. Yeah, just don't project shame.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't shame other people for it, because... So long as everyone's consensual, like, what's the problem?
Mm-hmm. And talking of making other people happy, do you want to share how you met the boyf, as I call him? Because
there's a boyf.
There is a boyf. Not only is he great, but also...
He's glorious.
You did not meet on a dating app.
We didn't.
And the gamers love to hear about where other people are meeting. Because we can get so caught up in these stereotypes of, like... Mm. Particularly Tinder is so mainstream now that we can sort of assume, and then actually you do a quick poll of the people in your life and you're like, oh no, people are meeting at the office and through friends and hobbies. And which was yours?
Well, where do I start? Trying to think now of which part of the story to start with, like which part of the... So I'll start with...
You could briefly mention how you met him for the first time.
Yeah, well, I was going to briefly mention how the fact that at that time I wasn't really looking for a relationship. I was still on Bumble dating, and I was still technically on Tinder. Not that I ever used Tinder, because it was one of the apps that I absolutely despised. And I was also still on Grindr, but that was mainly a hookup app really for me, despite having met my last two boyfriends on there. But that's beside the point.
Side note for the gamers, he's very pretty.
So I'm blushing. I was not looking for anything in particular, and I was lucky enough to... come across a good friend of mine now called Emmett on Bumble BFF, and I'd not really used Bumble BFF before, and I've made two good friends through it. One's called Joe and one's called Emmett, and Emmett had only recently moved to Liverpool with his boyfriend Elliot. Mm-hmm. And so me and Emmett were chatting for a bit. We both share a few quite intense interests, so we both speak Spanish and we both enjoyed traveling, different cultures, that kind of thing, and that was where we really hit it off. And so we went for a drink one day, like a friend date. And things were going absolutely great. You know, we were both on the right side of the political spectrum. The correct side, let me just caveat there. Not the right. The right in my mind.
The look of panic on your face.
The look of absolute panic where we lose all of the listeners. And so we hit it off on loads of different facets. And so that was great. We kept speaking. And then a couple of weeks later, this was October 2021. A couple of weeks later, he invited me to a pub quiz with him and his friends. He'd made another friend through Bumble BFF called Dave. And then Elliot, his boyfriend, was going to come along. And Elliot brought along Luke, who was on the same uni course. And they'd only just started uni the month before. They're both orthoptic students. And
no, I don't remember what it is either.
For anyone wondering what orthoptics is, he's going to love that I'm explaining this now, because nobody ever knows what it is. They study the development of the eye, normally in the age of like childhood, but can also be up into adulthood, particularly when you have problems with how the eyes work together. So that's called binocular vision. And so it's its own kind of allied health profession. So it's, you know, you come across them in hospitals, for example, in clinics. So yeah, so they're on the same university course, and Elliot brought along Luke. What's funny is when Emmett invited me to this quiz, he said that he was going to bring on another friend, and that was it. And then along bounces his boyfriend, who I will admit I did not like when I first met him at all. And he knows this, so this isn't anything new. I think it was just because he was really kind of far too extroverted for me, and I was just really great. He was just really grating on me, and I was like, I don't know how to deal with this.
Yeah, well, that's something that if you're nervous about a new situation, yes. I've noticed that someone really coming at you with a lot of energy. It's like, oh, this is too much stimuli. I was stressed before you bounced
definitely,
over.
Yeah, and the reason why I was stressed is because there were two people there that I was not expecting. One of whom was Luke, who, when you look at Luke, you see him and you go, yes, that is a gorgeous man. So now I am even more nervous, because why is this gorgeous man looking at me? So Elliot came along and Luke came along. And there were five of us. So the way that the way that they'd set the table up where we were sat, it was Elliot, Emmett and Dave sat on one side and then Luke was sat by himself on the opposite side of the table. So the only space for me to sit was next to Luke. So I think that kind of just sets the scene for the entire how we got to know one another and dating thing. I did say to them later on, I was like, was this a setup? Because it kind of felt like it was, because he was sat there like all doughy-eyed by himself, needing someone to talk to while you three were talking to one another. Apparently it wasn't set up, but I don't quite believe that. It almost seems too perfect not to have been set up.
But am I remembering rightly that at some point Luke had already seen a picture of you and had some thoughts?
Yes, I think Elliot or Emmett had shown him a picture of me because he was curious to know
who I was. About you.
Yeah. And as I've gotten to know Luke more recently, he likes to know what people look like because, you know, he's always talking about hot guys, and it's great because we can do that together now. But I imagine that was probably what was happening. He wanted to work out whether I was hot or not in his eyes.
Because I think a version of this you've told me, he seemed to think that you were when you met for that first time and maybe thought that even before you sat down.
Yeah, so he had seen my picture and had mentioned that he thought I was attractive. And then I later found out that when we had met in person for that quiz, he then told, I think, Elliot that I had met his expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember where I was now.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Talking about how much he likes you.
So this was the quiz. So quiz went really well. My nerves kind of settled down a little bit throughout the quiz because we'd all kind of gotten a bit of alcohol in us, drinking a few beers, and then we were all chatting to one another, and me and Luke started to chat as well. And at this point, I didn't know really what cards were on the table here. I didn't even know, you know, his sexuality. You know, I got kind of an inkling in my brain, but I never liked to assume. And so I didn't really say anything, but, you know, all I could think of was, wow, this man's gorgeous. And so, yeah, the quiz went really well. And then the quiz ended. We came second, I think. We're all kind of quiet. We all have our own nerdinesses. And so Elliot
hot
and
nerds.
Yeah. So Elliot and Luke are kind of more kind of pop culture, music, art kind of things, despite the fact that they're both
you referred to yourselves as things.
Thanks. Despite the fact that they're both doing a very scientific degree. And then we were very lucky, hopefully he won't mind me saying this, we're very lucky to have Dave on our team because he's an old man. He's actually only 35, but the rest of us are all under 25, under 27, so there's a significant age gap there. But he takes it in his stride. We love him, really. So
I don't think anyone was assuming you didn't.
So Dave's great because he has, you know, he has that extra little bit of generational knowledge that the rest of us don't. No, genuinely.
I cannot take this seriously. He's 35. He's treating it like he's 60. I have a full old man visual because of this conversation.
You genuinely don't understand how much of a difference there is with that 8 years.
Because, I think in the gaze, yes.
Well, not just in the gaze, but in knowledge of kind of culture and music and stuff like that. Like, he'll know songs.
Oh, okay, yeah, on music, sure.
He'll know songs and films and references like that that none of us will know, and he's a great asset to the team for that reason, just because...
We're talking too much about the team dynamic. Let's hear more about Luke.
Yeah, so game ended, quiz ended, we did very well. And anyway, by the way, you're the one who asked me how we did, so that's why I was bringing
I just wanted to
up.
Know that you won and moved on.
No, we came second. So, fast forward, and this was October. I didn't meet Luke again until December. No, I did. I did. Oh my God, how am I forgetting? So, Elliot and...
You were around Elliot's.
Yeah, Elliot and Emmett had a games night, and they invited me and Luke along. And this was where the flirting kind of hotted up. So, Dave wasn't there. I can't remember for what reason. He might have been busy with work. He has a full-time job, whereas...
He's retired.
Yeah, he has a full-time job, whereas the rest of us are all... students or not full-time workers, so he's always quite busy. And so I arrived to Elliot and Emmett's, and the games night was kind of just going to be like pizzas, board games, maybe like Mario Party, Mario Kart, that kind of thing on the Switch, although I don't think he had a Switch by then. So that was the plan, and then we were all getting along really well. Luke turned up and we were all gaming throughout the night. And then
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
As we started to drink a bit more alcohol, I could definitely tell that Luke was flirting with me by this point. Like, it was fairly obvious. And I was enjoying it. And there's one specific part that I remember. And I was wearing pink socks. And he came over to me and started to caress my foot. And he said, he was like, your socks are so lovely. And, you know, he was very much in my personal space. Not that I was bothered at all by that. But it was... yeah, there was definite flirtation there, and it was, you know, it was not just him being nice.
It's interesting to me the contrast between me hearing this story the first time, mm-hmm. and a lot of it was punctuated with, and I didn't mind. He's so hot. Mm. He's so hot, so it was great. I thought I minded my feet being touched. Maybe I like it. Who knows?
Yeah, and then there was another part of the night, like I mentioned just before, that Elliot and Luke are both orthoptic students, so they're both very obsessed with the eye and eyesight. And just background for the listeners, I have a few different eyesight problems. And so they, both of them actually, were very, very invested and wanted to do eye tests on me during this games night. And so they were both looking at me. They were like, do you mind if we do this? And I said, you know, not at all. Like, since I've been a kid, I've had people prod and poke my eyes. Like, it's absolutely fine.
But also a nice sign that you were so comfortable with this new friend group.
Definitely.
That could be pretty stressful and like something that
yeah.
you don't necessarily want people leading with on
yes.
like, oh, this is the thing we've decided we're most interested in.
Oh, yeah,
but that obviously wasn't the impression.
No, that wasn't the impression that I got. And so they both started to do kind of visual sight tests and stuff like that. And I can't remember the names of them, but it doesn't really matter. And then the ones that Luke was doing, he was getting very close to me while he was doing these things. And I was sat on a chair, so, you know, there was space between my legs where one could stand. And he did stand in between my legs whilst doing these tests. And he was kind of like leaning on my chest and moving the stick in front of my eyes.
The stick?
The stick. And so, yeah, I could tell that the flirtation was really, really... increasing.
Pressing down on you quite literally.
Yes. Yeah. So that ended. We continued gaming. And then later on in the evening, we were definitely giving one another eyes. And Elliot and Luke were sat on the couch, and then Emmett and I were both sat on chairs opposite them on the opposite side of the table. And Elliot went to the loo, and I saw my opportunity to go and sit next to Luke. And I think Luke also saw that opportunity as well. And he kind of looked at me and patted the sofa next to him as if to usher me over. And I went and sat next to him, and we had like a cuddle on the couch, which was really nice. Yeah, it was. It felt very intimate for someone that I'd only met twice, but it also felt very comfortable as well.
Mm-hmm.
And very organic. And so that was very lovely.
And from there, you seem to both be clearly on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that's distinctive with you is you really like to have an extended dating period before having any kind of label on a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's still more to this evening as well. I will get onto what you said, but that's going to come into a part that I mentioned in a bit.
I'm just aware of timing.
Oh, goodness. How long have we got?
We've got like 20 minutes.
Ah! Okay, so speaking up.
The listeners have heard... plenty of cuteness. I'm sure yes. they're invested.
Yes.
Any frat.
What is it you mentioned again?
You having this extended dating phase.
That is something that I do, and it's because the two past relationships that I've had, we both jumped into those very quickly without an extended dating period, and I think it definitely did not benefit the relationships. So I wanted to make sure that that was a boundary that I had in place with this situation, because at that point it was just kind of a situation/situationship. I didn't know where it was going or what we wanted from it, but I wanted to make sure that that was definitely something I had in place.
Yeah, and I really like that, because I think there's such a sort of respect that can come from that, of like really taking it seriously, getting to know this person.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, there can be that temptation to try and lock things down, but there's a beauty in taking it slow as well.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you were both really on the same page with that.
Oh, yeah.
You were, and maybe that was because you'd connected so well and so organically. You were like, oh, this does feel comfortable and we're in this newish friend group.
Yeah.
And they're all supportive and you can cuddle on the couch and they all just...
You say that. I don't think there was anyone being unsupportive, but we both got very interesting looks from Emmett and Elliot when we were cuddling on the couch. I think potentially because it was their place and they were like, what's going on? Let's hope these guys aren't just going to start fucking on our sofa. But yeah, they are supportive of us. But I just remembered that specific part of getting like Elliot looking at us and then looking at his boyfriend Emmett and then there being like a weird look that I don't think Luke noticed because we were both far too interested in one another rather than what they were looking at.
And what was the point when you knew, okay, let's be boyfs?
The point when I knew that I wanted to be his boyfriend happened earlier on to when we actually officially became boyfriends labelled. And at that point, I think it was about the middle of January, maybe, towards the end of January. So we dated through December and then he'd gone away for Christmas and then come back and then we'd gone on more dates.
And you weren't pining at all?
We were both pining very much. Yeah, so it was kind of at the point where we were acting like one another's boyfriends, but didn't have that label on it. And I kind of thought, you know, this is happening, like I said before, rather organically. And it's not happening too quickly for me, but it's definitely something that I feel is moving in the right direction. And this just feels nice and right. So that was when I had the thought in my mind that I wanted to ask him at some point.
I think I remember we ended up having conversations after some of these dates. So I was like, so... are we asking?
Yes.
That sounds like a reason to ask. I think at one point you even had a concern of like, oh, I feel like we've already started acting like we're together, even though we're officially not. And I was like, so if you ask him, we can be pretty confident of a positive answer, no? And you were like...
yeah, I still didn't want to ask him at that stage because I thought it was too early. But it was only about 3 weeks after that I ended up asking him. And he cried when I asked him, so that was...
talk us through that, because that could have been quite scary to be on the receiving end of like, oh shit, what have I said?
Yeah, it definitely didn't help.
Did he say yes and then cry at least?
But it definitely didn't help that we just had weed brownies. But clearly that had given me the confidence to ask him, but potentially the weed brownies had given him the, you know, the anxieties, like, oh my god, what's happening here? Because like some of the questions were like, oh, you know, I would love to, but like, I don't want like to make the wrong decision. And I was like, okay, we need to have this conversation when we are completely sober, because I don't believe you actually think that. I think this is just the weed talking. And quite rightly, the next morning we did talk it over and that was exactly what was happening. He was like, you know, I was just incredibly paranoid and like there were so many things going through my mind all at once. And he said, yes, I would like to be your boyfriend. And that was the start of that.
I love it. And I was so excited for you.
I know.
And one of the other things I love about you guys, as well as your very apparent love, because you've been beaming at me, but not really at me, the entire conversation, is like the communication is really there.
Yes.
And I think because partly you've taken this so seriously, you've taken the time to really get to know each other, and like you've both been on the same page of like, this really feels like something.
Yeah.
There have been things in terms of like settling into the dynamic, but you have like talked it through and you've been working through your respective anxieties on them.
Totally. Yeah.
And I love that.
I know. Yeah. It has been great. And one of the things that I've had to combat recently is my own anxiety, which has really come to the forefront in the last few months. And that, you know, I think that's been a result of going through uni during COVID and then moving back home to my parents in Liverpool or near Liverpool, in the Wirral, if anyone knows where that is. And then not having a job for a while and having to live off my savings, etc. So there were a number of things that were kind of making me, you know, very stressed in life. And I think some of those things have definitely manifested in the start of our relationship.
Yeah, and you're coming to this thing that you're really into, but then there can be a pressure associated with how great it seems.
Definitely, yeah. And so, like you said, us kind of walking ourselves through our own anxieties and emotions is definitely been something that is... I'm so happy that has happened, because it's something that I need in a relationship. And we've talked through a number of things. And like you said, like the settling in period, because there's both the honeymoon period, but also I think there is also a settling in period where you're getting used to one another and how you both emote...
Yeah, there's a lot of practicalities that can in themselves be quite because then it feels like contrast to the romance.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, these practical things of how we communicate,
yeah,
and like, you know, how much we text and how much we see each other, and that can be both too much or too little.
Yeah, and it's very easy to catastrophize as well and think, oh, you know, oh, all of these practical elements and emotional elements, they're all taking away from the natural romance of it, when actually they are also just as important as that part as well.
Yeah, well, they're what build like the long term and you fitting together more, yeah, than just like we couldn't stay apart on a couch. There's also got to, yeah, be backing behind that closeness.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and those conversations that we've had very recently as well have all been so great, and like you said, the communication has been so open as well. It's funny because I've recounted these stories to you and then you've recounted them back to me on this podcast so that I can bring them up for the listeners. And it's really taken some getting used to.
Magritte's surreal.
Yeah. So yeah, I couldn't
be happier.
I couldn't have wanted it to go better.
There you go.
Than it already has.
Love is out there.
Yeah.
And whilst you're getting used to me bringing things up to get you to prompt you to recount stories, I did notice next to your bed in our room that there's a book called Attached.
Oh, yes.
Which we've talked about on the podcast about the different attachment styles. So
we have.
Where's that come from?
Yeah. So
do I claim credit for that?
Somewhat, but also my friend Abby mentioned the book to me once because I had a bit of a phone call and a bit of a cry with her, because when I mentioned my anxieties just earlier, some of them were in relation to this new relationship that I'd just started.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned that the book was great, and that actually, you know, even if you don't want to take anything from it, it's something that is a worthwhile read. Totally. And I kind of got the book thinking, I want to kind of understand myself a little bit more, because it started to feel like I did have more of an anxious attachment style. And that wasn't something that I'd really noticed that much before in relationships or even friendships, really. So I wanted to hone in on that and just, you know, read something that wasn't overly scientific, but something that could be related to. And that book, honestly, if any of you want to read it, it is great. It's just called Attached. And yeah, it is a really good book. And I think it has also helped me to understand Luke a bit more as well, and then enable us to both be better at understanding one another and not be so, what's the word? I can't think of the word. Just be more understanding with how each other feels.
Yeah, well, kind of unconsciously in your patterns is, yeah, what you're trying not to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was something that helped me a lot in terms of recognising patterns, because I think when it comes to dating in particular, that's one of the hardest things to see as a friend.
Yeah,
is see somebody like going for the same type of people and mm-hmm. then having the same outcomes.
And
then being surprised by it. And that's often a definition people use for insanity, of keep trying the same thing and expecting different outcomes.
Yeah.
And I'm out here trying not to be insane. I already have a mental health podcast. Enough people would want to stereotype and stigmatize me. So yeah, it's good to see you reading that.
Yeah, it's a great read. And there are parts of it where you can go, oh shit, that makes this sound like that this isn't going to work. But I don't think it's so much about taking it as gospel. It's more that it's good to read those things and then relate your style back to the advice that it gives. And like it almost feels really malleable. Like you can do with it what you want to do. I mean, you don't necessarily have to, you know, think in such prescriptive lines and prescriptive ways.
Mm-hmm. And I have one last thing to ask you about, which
was,
I mentioned stereotypes, so this is a segue you're getting for that.
Interesting.
Well, we are, so the group of guys that we're here with, I am in this group because I dated one of them. And
yes,
there's me and two straights and the rest are gays.
Yes.
And do you feel the group successfully counters the stereotypes of what's a word I can use? Cross-pollination within gay groups?
I don't think so, no. I was talking to you yesterday about this. I think I mentioned it very briefly because we went on a walk yesterday, but you didn't go on the walk. I did mention this to James.
I was working.
Yeah, he was working.
On a holiday, I know, but here we are.
And I said to one of the other guys that we're here with, it's really interesting because I'm not one of the people who has dated one of the other people in this group. I feel I am actually kind of like third generation out of the circle there, because I was introduced to this group by someone that, actually, this isn't going to sound great now, that I went on a date with.
It's about to say.
But
definitely been on a date with someone in this group.
Yes.
But still.
Yeah, but the person who introduced me to this group hadn't been on a date with anyone in this group. And so it kind of felt a little bit more removed, whereas kind of like the, I don't know what you'd call it, like the centre circle of the group, perhaps. There have been a number of people that have dated. So yeah, I don't think we're kind of breaking the mould here or doing anything to help the stereotypes.
Yeah, but there's a cuteness to it, because I think it's more on the like crushes end than maybe people assuming like what else might be happening in a cabin in the woods.
Ah, yeah.
Then it's a lot of board games.
Yeah, well, Chris Evans definitely isn't here. So, or is it Chris Hemsworth in that movie? What's the movie? Is it Cabin in the Woods? Have you seen it?
I'm not tracking them. Also, so I don't care about that. I know I meant to fancy one of them, but I do not care.
Yeah. So yeah, we're not kind of breaking the mold there, but I think it's definitely very nice that we've all remained, like, everyone has remained friends in those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, yeah.
I was chatting to a mate yesterday and I asked her about like, oh, so have you not had like any like exes or people you've gone on dates with that you're still friends with? And she reminded me she's actually never had an ex. There's just only been her husband. And I was like,
interesting.
Oh yes, we've lived very different lives.
Yeah, that sounds very different to a life I've lived as well.
Yeah, and I definitely fell for the trap of like, tell me about that. And she was like, I don't know what to say to you. It's nice.
Mm.
I have no comparison.
Oh, God.
But on that note, we will wrap up with our rules of the game. Oh, so God. Is there something you try and live by in dating or relationships that you might recommend?
Oh, shit. I was meant to be thinking about this as we were going, but we got so wrapped up in everything else.
I thought of mine all of 2 minutes ago. Well, tell me something that you're pleased that you have in this relationship. And don't say communication. Everyone wants to say communication.
Okay.
And don't say dick size.
There's definitely something.
I saw it flash across your eyes.
The elements of the things that we have in common with one another, but that we're able to enjoy together, but, you know, that aren't too intense and we aren't constantly in one another's pockets for those reasons. So, like, we can enjoy these things together, but we're not going to be, you know, for example, in the future, if we did live together, these hobbies or things that we like aren't going to be things that are going to make us those kind of couple that spend every waking moment mm-hmm. with one another. So one of the things that we very much enjoy is languages. Like, Luke speaks German, I speak Spanish, and we both love to teach each other parts of those languages. The other things that we enjoy are kind of the anti-car movement and cycling. We both enjoy cycling as well. And kind of urban infrastructure as well, and road design, things like that. It's all very nerdy.
Hot nerds, indeed.
And those are things that we can enjoy together. But yeah, like I said, I'm not going to feel like we're in one another's pockets all the time with...
Yeah, so I think the rule we draw out of that one is that there's so much for having like shared interests and shared hobbies, but not allowing it to be at the detriment of like connection to other people or spending time, you know, ending up spending too much time together.
Yeah.
Which
have your own interests as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Divvy some of them up.
Yes, definitely.
Grand. And I think my rule of the game is one I'm surprised I've not mentioned before, which is have really cool friends that you can talk this stuff through, because I have historically been really great at friendships. I've not always done as well in dating, but I've always had really wonderful people to talk things through with.
Yeah.
And one of the funny things about interviewing you is you tell stories. I've said this to you before. Yes. You tell stories very like me.
Yes.
And I'll be interested if the gamers pick up on that as well. It's very methodical.
Mm.
And all the details that make you smile have to be dropped in order. So sometimes we're on the phone and it's like listening to myself.
Oh, yeah. And that's probably why you looked at me and went, you know, clock watching, we've only got so much time left, because this story is about to overrun.
I want to hear about this for 7 hours.
But, but the listeners don't have all day.
Yeah. They're listening on their commute. They need to get to work.
Yes.
And so on that note, we will wrap up and we'll come back for our bit behind the paywall in a minute. I normally ask the guests what they want to plug. Do you want to plug any of your social media? Do you want to tell people to go get vaccinated?
Go get vaccinated if you haven't already been vaccinated, but I would predict that...
Do you want to say it with a bit more enthusiasm?
That wasn't being enthusiastic.
Oh, there you go. You've heard it here first, folks. Please get vaccinated.
Yes. If you already haven't, please do. I presume that the majority of your listeners will have probably been vaccinated, but you can never assume that.
I'll take the assumption, sure.
Yeah.
Smart people.
Mm-hmm. It really doesn't hurt that much, if that's what you're worried about.
All right, on that note, we will wrap up there. You're brilliant. Thank you so much.
You're brilliant.
I've spent the whole holiday just teasing you by complimenting you. It's both me showing care, and I think it's good for you, but also it does crack me up, your reaction, when you just roll your eyes at
me. He knows I'm not good with compliments.
Thanks for listening. You can support the show, get ad-free episodes and bonus content by joining our new subscription on Apple Podcasts.
This replaces our Patreon and it's slightly cheaper.
Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta,
with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.